This conversation is brought to you by foodpowers.com. One person's food is another person's poison. My name is Narissa Oden, creator of foodpowers.com. It's highly likely that the foods in your pantry are at the root of your frequent health problems. Do you suffer from headaches, fatigue, hay fever, digestion issues, depression, or irritability? I suffered with all those and more for decades. I took a simple blood test that told me to stop eating salmon, broccoli, olive oil, and other everyday foods. And to my amazement, my ailments disappeared in days. Today, I control my health. It does not control me. You can experience better health too. Just stay tuned as my guest and I share jaw-dropping stories of triumph over food powers. This podcast is for sharing personal information and opinions only and should not replace professional medical advice or care. This podcast is protected by copyright. Hi, thank you for joining us. Today we have a very special guest, my life partner, Dr. Joe Vitale. Thank you for joining us, Joe.
My pleasure. Been looking forward to this.
Me too. Well, most people, or a lot of people, know now that about 2 years ago you ordered a blood allergy test from your general practitioner's office. Why did you order that test done?
I was curious. I had seen the results that you were having because I saw that you went through some health challenges and you had been hearing about food sensitivities from a mutual friend who's a chiropractor who you will be interviewing if you haven't yet, Dr. Rick Barrett. And you decided to do the test. You did the test. I remained skeptical throughout it. Yet, when you got your results back and after your moment of shock and a little bit of depression there, and you started to follow the results that you got and stayed away from the foods you were sensitive to or outright allergic to, you started to feel better. And, of course, I noticed that. I also noticed how disciplined you were because you'd go into grocery stores and you'd stand there and read the labels and sometimes angrily throw the product back on the shelf when you realize it had things in it that you couldn't have. So as I watched all of this and I saw the transformation, I started to think, well, maybe there's something to this food sensitivities business, and maybe I should find out what I'm allergic to or sensitive to, because I do want to maintain my health. I do want to live a very long time, and I want to do so joyfully. So I decided to get a test. I did a different test than you did. Mine was a bit more expensive and a bit more elaborate, but I did do it, I think, June of 2007, and I think it was called an MRT test, and it happened to be one that was either recommended or prescribed by my local doctor, and that's where it all began.
Absolutely. I've got the test results in front of me. It is an MRT, and you got it through your local general practitioner. And what types of things did you notice on how I improved? I know people have heard it from me, but if they could hear it from you, it might be helpful as well.
On how you improved? Well, I would say in general you seem to be calmer, more luminous, radiant, happier, less headaches, less, if I may, grumpiness. You suffered from migraine headaches for a very long time, and some of that was relieved as you started to handle stress better, and some of that, or a lot of that, was relieved when you found out some of the things that were kicking in the headaches or anything along those lines. So off the top of my head, I would say those are the general things that I noticed.
Okay. Did you notice that I lost any weight?
Oh, good question. Yes. And, in fact, that was something that made me really mad because I saw you pig out on foods that your allergy test said you were allowed to eat, and they were things like pasta. And so I saw you eating buckets of pasta, and, of course, I'm exaggerating. It wasn't buckets, but
no,
it was a lot.
You're not exaggerating too much.
You were eating a lot of pasta, which I don't eat anymore at all. That's become the bad guy in my life. And I stay away from it. But there I saw you eating it, and you'd eaten a pretty good abundance of it, and you were losing weight. And that's right. Within a very short period of time, you had lost 20 or more pounds. I don't remember paying attention to it because I wasn't picking you up and weighing you or anything. But I did notice that you were losing weight, and you, of course, noticed that too. But the thing that was most exciting and confusing is that you were simply staying away from the foods that you were not comfortable with, meaning you were sensitive to, because when you ate those foods, you would have reactions to them, including putting on weight. When you ate the foods that were safe, according to your blood test, you were eating the foods you were not sensitive to, you can eat an abundance of them, and you would lose weight. So definitely that was part of what I was noticing and part of what I was curious about on how it would work with me.
Yeah, I lost 20 pounds in 3 months by stuffing my face full of the traditional fatty foods, potatoes, pasta.
Now, that's a headline for you. I lost 20 pounds in 3 months by stuffing my face with pasta.
Yeah.
That's a headline.
Yep. Now, you mentioned that you noticed I had headaches and things like that, and how often do I have headaches now?
Almost never. I don't know that I can recall one quickly to mind right now. So the easy answer is almost never. When I first met you, you had migraine headaches on a regular basis, and they were crippling. They were very crippling. It was a horrible thing to experience, and I was experiencing from outside of your body, so it was tough to see. But you don't have migraine headaches at all anymore, at all, and to have any headache is, as far as I can remember, a rarity.
Yep, well, that's exactly right, and I'm so ever grateful for the test, which would lead me to the perfect question: how did your health improve after the test? And before you answer that, did you have any serious health symptoms before you took the test, and then kind of roll that into if they got better?
The most serious health symptom before it was a asthma attack / panic attack. And the worst case of that was the first one when I was on a plane, when you and I were on the plane from Denver to Las Vegas, and I began to have that attack on the flight, which is a terrifying experience. It's terrifying to have an asthma attack, but to have it where you can't go anywhere, you can't leave, they don't open the window, they don't pull over and let you out, you are stuck there. That was very scary. And I didn't know it was an asthma attack. I thought it was a heart attack. And it wasn't until I landed, and the next morning when it was still there, I had a doctor come to the hospital room who sent me to the emergency room, which was even more scary because I had never been to the emergency room and had to go there and had to spend hours there only to find out that I had what they called an asthma attack / panic attack. They gave me an inhaler, told me that when I got back to Texas, back home, to see my regular physician, which was even more scary, which because it meant I had to get back on another plane and I was going to be flying home again and I could have a similar experience again. So the number one thing that happened was the asthma attack, and I carried that asthma inhaler for almost 5 years. Didn't have to use it but maybe once, but it was my comforter. It was my Linus blanket that I would carry because I never knew when something like that was going to happen. So that would be the number one thing, breathing problems along those lines, with the asthma attack being at the top of the list.
But you didn't have that often. I mean, it was a
No.
very rare occasion. It was almost like you have asthma on very rare occasions, which is an odd diagnosis.
Right. I had never had it before at all, never been to the emergency room before. So I had something take place, which they, with their limited wisdom and limited experience and how they saw me for the first time, decided that it was an asthma attack with a panic attack slashed in or thrown in or mixed in, however you want to describe that.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, how many other doctors kind of confirmed that for you, like when you came back home and saw a regular physician and then seems like you saw another doctor? And how many doctors have confirmed that for you?
They all said that that was the case. Based on the description, based on everything that they knew and saw, they all said it was asthma. And they did recommend that I just carry an asthma inhaler. Not a big deal, carry an asthma inhaler. One doctor prescribed a daily asthma medicine, a prescription. And I took it for about 3 weeks until I noticed that my voice was changing. And I didn't like it. I didn't like, first of all, being dependent on medicine. And then second of all, I felt that there had to be a cure for this. I believe that anything could be cured. We just have to find out what it is. And then third, it was changing my voice and making it seem very different than what I was used to and comfortable with. I knew something unnatural was taking place. And that was one doctor prescribing a daily medication. I stopped that one on my own. I just knew that it wasn't right, and I stopped it on my own, never looked back. But I still carried the asthma inhaler because all the doctors confirmed that you had an asthma attack. You better carry this because you never know when you might have another one, which is a scary thought. In the back of your mind, you're always wondering, when is it going to hit? So, yes, the medical community across the board said asthma.
Do you remember any of them asking you if you had any allergies, food allergies?
No. Nobody asked, to my recollection, what I ate or did or drank, or did I have food allergies or food sensitivities. I don't recall that ever coming up. Mm. They were quick to do physical diagnostics and blood tests to kind of determine what was happening.
Okay. Kind of like checking on your heart and
yes,
lungs.
Absolutely. Absolutely
okay.
Those.
Now, what do you remember eating before you had the attack on the plane?
Well, the best I can remember, because at that point I was eating whatever I wanted. I wasn't as strict about my food intake, and it seemed like I had had a submarine sandwich at a Quizno at the Denver airport. It seemed like I had some sort of Italian submarine sandwich, which would have had, you know, meatballs and cheese and different seasonings and sauce and that kind of good stuff. And who knows, I might have had a muffin with it or a soda with it. I don't really remember. But that was before I was really watching what I was eating. I wasn't eating crazily in terms of eating junk food. But I was at an airport, I was traveling, and my defenses are down when it comes to food intake during mm-hmm. those periods.
I remember you telling me that, not at the time, but later on, I remember asking you to think back, and you said you had some kind of spicy sandwich at the sub shop in the airport.
Yep.
And, well, which will turn out to be important, I think, later on.
Yeah.
So you got a blood test, a blood allergy test, about mm-hmm. a year later, something like that?
It was more than a year later. It might have been a couple to 3 years later.
Okay.
It was quite a bit later.
Okay. And then once you got the blood allergy test, the food allergy test, what did it say that you were allergic to or sensitive to?
Well, first of all, you need to know that when it came back, I was on pins and needles because I thought if it comes back and says I can't eat things that I love, I was going to tear up the test.
Right.
Because I love garlic, and if it was going to come back and say garlic's a red alert, don't eat garlic, I was going to say wrong test, the wrong day, they took the wrong blood. I'll take the test again but use somebody else's blood, you know, I'll do a fake test. So it'll come out with my preferences there. But that wasn't the case. Garlic's totally fine for me, and I love garlic, and that's okay. But there were a few things that jumped out as being amazing. For example, blueberries were on the list as being sensitive to. At that point in time, I was losing weight, I was in fitness contests, and I was having a smoothie every morning. And every morning, I loaded it with blueberries. So I'm loading up my breakfast intake with the very thing that the test is saying I'm sensitive to. Well, that one was a shock, and that one was hard to believe, but I went with it. Then there's other things on the list that I was actually glad to see. Green pepper was on the list that I'm sensitive to. I was glad to see it because I don't like green pepper. And in fact, I've joked that you were trying to kill me because you would make these beautiful stuffed green peppers, put them in front of me. I would eat all the stuffings out of them but not eat the green peppers. And you would say, you have to eat the green peppers. That's good for you. It's a vegetable. And I would say, no, I don't like them.
I was so frustrated.
And as it turned out, I'm not supposed to eat green peppers. I'm not saying green peppers are bad for everybody, but for me at that point in time with the blood sensitivity test, green peppers came up as red zone, don't eat them. So that was good news. I didn't want to eat them. And then there was the things that were eye-opening and then revealing and then helped explain a lot. For example, paprika. Paprika, as innocent as that seems to be, turns out to be a fire alarm, red alert, call 911, not good for Joe, seasoning. Now, how this makes sense is that as we reflected on everything, most likely that day at the Denver airport when I had the heavily seasoned sandwich, it probably had paprika on it. And what I experienced on the plane, which I knew was not a heart attack, which I was told was an asthma attack, was probably a food sensitivity reaction, probably pretty close to a food allergic reaction. So that made a lot of sense. But the blood sensitivity test is what had to reveal it. So paprika being on the list was eye-opening.
Well, now some people are going to think, listening to this, that's a pretty big leap of faith to jump to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm remembering that we had, when the test first came back, we looked at the paprika high alert and kind of shrugged our shoulders and went, huh, who eats paprika?
Mm-hmm.
And didn't think a thing about it.
And then
we had gone out to eat at least, I don't know, one time, a very particular, oh, that's right, and you ate an all-natural microwavable burrito one time when I was out, and the ingredients on the wrapper package had paprika in it, and then the meal that we had, you ordered a dish, what's it called?
It was an ahi tuna.
That's it. And you had eaten that like many, many other times
before. I love ahi tuna. It's a form of sashimi. So I love ahi tuna. The difference here was, and I guess I should describe the story so people get it, you and I went to dinner. We went to a local restaurant that we love to go to. Innocent enough surroundings, innocent enough meal. We've been there many times before. I order ahi tuna, which basically doesn't have any seasoning on it. It might have a little pepper around the outside sometimes. It might be seared on the outside sometimes. And it comes with a cream sauce. And I ate that, and you and I talk and so forth. And about an hour into the meal, I felt my heart start to race. I felt my throat start to close. And I started feeling from my phone because I thought I might have to call 911. It felt like I was having an asthma attack. It felt like I was having some sort of reaction or some sort of physical experience that was not making me happy or very relaxed. But I thought, I'll breathe through this. I know a lot of relaxation techniques. I know the emotional freedom techniques. I know different things to do to calm myself down. So I calmed myself down, and it slowly began to pass. And when it passed, I thought, oh, what in the world was that? I told you about it. We called the waiter over, and we said, what was the ahi tuna? And he said, well, hardly anything. It's ahi tuna, a little pepper and sear around the edge, and then there's the cream sauce. And, well, what's in the cream sauce? Nothing much, just paprika. Oh, paprika. Well, it appears that the paprika mixed with the cream sauce is like mixing a poison directly for Joe. That is not good for me. Seems innocent enough, but my blood test had said paprika is not good, and there it was right in what looked like an otherwise simple, easy, innocent meal.
Yeah, now we've heard from our nutritionist and chiropractic friend, Dr. Rick Barrett, and he's the one who basically educated us on food sensitivities whenever I got my test done. And one of the things he talked about was that you can have be okay with paprika. And in fact, you've accidentally eaten paprika smeared all over a pork roast or something at a friend's house and didn't feel any effects from just the paprika.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how much she put on there, but after eating it, she kind of, I forget how it came up, but she told us what was in it. We both looked at each other and decided not to say anything. And then, I'm looking at your test results, and you've got a high sensitivity to cow's milk.
Yes.
And to yogurt.
Yes.
And, we, looking back, that spicy sandwich, the ahi tuna, and the all-natural vegetarian, or not vegetarian, but all-natural burrito, they both had cow's milk and or
yogurt, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the mix of those things, which nobody would have predicted beforehand, because the people making those things are just trying to make something that tastes good for you. But the mix of those things were not good for me. And this is why the food sensitivity test is so important, crucial even, and it's so revealing. Many meals have paprika in it, and you might get away with it. But if I have paprika in cow's milk or paprika in yogurt or paprika in corn or green peas or even in green pepper, that's probably not going to be good for me. And it explains a lot, because if you go back to when I had to go to the emergency room for what I thought was a heart attack and they said was an asthma attack, almost certainly it was a paprika food sensitivity reaction.
Yep.
And that would have saved me thousands of dollars, a great deal of stress, and an entire week, because that week that we spent in Vegas, I kept thinking about, I have to get back on a plane and I have to go back home. An entire week of frustration and apprehension, and then 5 years of carrying around an asthma inhaler, where all I needed to really be aware of is what food has paprika, especially paprika mixed with yogurt or cow's milk.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and they didn't ask. They didn't ask it about any food allergies or offer a test. So leave it to, again, save the day, Dr. Rick Barrett. by the way, if anybody's in the Houston Sugarland area and is listening to this and you would like to get a food sensitivity, food allergy test from Dr. Barrett, go to the website barrettchiroclinic.com for his phone number and address and directions and stuff. You know, another thing that I'm noticing looking over the test, I'm reminded that you've announced to everybody that you've given up the Italian food.
Right.
And I'm looking, and it's like, wow, okay, green peppers, tomatoes, eggplant, celery, you know, a lot of that is Italian food.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought about it at the time. It was kind of a joke where I looked at the fact that I had eaten Italian food growing up and I fought with being overweight all my life. And I just decided, well, it's all because of Italian food. So I gave up being Italian and I gave up Italian food. But that's the joke. When you look more closely and you see that a lot of Italian food does have things like green pepper or paprika or milk or yogurt or cheese, you know, made from cow's milk, then I'm eating things that I'm ultimately sensitive to. I'm eating things that ultimately I shouldn't be having. There's probably wonderful recipes in Italian food that I can have and enjoy and maybe even pig out on and not have any sort of repercussion, health-wise or weight-wise. But for me, I just made a sweeping statement and said, I gave up being an Italian, I gave up being eating Italian food. But the reality is I've given up the food that I'm currently sensitive to. So green pepper, never liked them anyway, so I'm glad to give them up.
Right.
Paprika, I can take it or leave it. I remember watching a TV show. I used to watch Donnie Deutsch's TV show, which I loved so much when it was on the air. And he was interviewing this family who had opened a restaurant, and their claim to fame was every single item they cooked had paprika in it. And I thought, that is the one restaurant I will never go to because paprika's in everything. But there's, you know, other things that were on my food sensitivity test, like green peas. You'd think green peas are innocent. You should go ahead and eat green peas or grapes. You'd think grapes are innocent enough. Well, green peas and grapes, for me, are a no-no. That's not good. The other thing that's interesting from the food sensitivities is you can find out what's better for you, not necessarily that one is going to hurt you and one isn't. But, for example, when it comes to meat, turkey is better for me than chicken. When it comes to cheeses, blue cheese is better for me than American cheese. When it comes to some of the oats, rye is better than oat for me. When it comes to some of the vegetables, spinach is better than lettuce for me. So it ends up being very educational, and anybody interested in improving their health, living longer and happier and having longevity and well-being needs to have a food sensitivity test just to find out what's going on in their body and then just stick with it.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I've been trying to, the point I've been trying to get across to the listeners is that if you understand what you're sensitive to and stay away from it, then your body's immune system has a chance to actually attack and fight off things that are going on or could be going on within your body. And so the great example for me from my experience was when I dropped all the foods on my food sensitivity test, I actually had such a high immune system that air pollen didn't affect me anymore. I remember the first summer where people were, you know, sneezing and talking about how horrible the cedar was and, you know, they're getting their annual allergy shot and all this stuff. And I just kind of went, oh. I haven't even reached for the, you know, in the medicine cabinet for my usual allergy meds, you know. And, gosh, I think the closest thing that I ever got to be irritated by air pollen was cedar, and then I had a chiropractor, local chiropractor, tell me that when the cedar pollen's out, it's actually all over your car and the car handles and stuff, and the fact that my eyes were slightly, just a little bit irritated came from the fact that it was a physical irritation, that I, you know, would touch my eyes or rub my eyes at some point during the day and I had pollen on my fingers, that it wasn't a breathing it in and then having a reaction to it. And I thought, oh my God, I thought I was having a little bit of a reaction to it because I was breathing it in, and maybe my immune system wasn't as boosted as I thought. But when he notified me it was a physical reaction, I'm like, okay, there we go. So my immune system is working gangbusters. And so that's why I recommend to everybody, especially if you're dealing with some type of chronic illness that you have, you know, get the test. Understand which foods you need to back off of either completely or don't eat it as much, and then what foods are safe for you to indulge in and eat all the time that won't hurt your immune system, won't suppress it. You know, one of the things that I would like to share with people, if it's okay with you, is your test results.
Okay.
And they can go look at the actual scan of your test results at foodpowers.com, and it's on the Get Tested area, posted under the MRT test listing. So if they go to Get Tested, click on the MRT option, and then they'll see a link there. It'll open a PDF document. So thank you for sharing that with everybody so they can look at what an MRT test looks like. Because one of the things that's different is like, you're sensitive to red food dye.
Yes.
You're sensitive to caffeine, and you're very sensitive to caffeine, and you're very sensitive to a common additive that's a preservative, lecithin. So my test didn't cover those type of things. My test, which was the ELISA test, just covered, like, the top 100 foods. So I think it'll be very helpful for people to go look at. And by the way, my test is online too, under the ELISA area. If people can go and look at those and they can compare and see. Another thing that's different about the test is your test gives a bar graph type of result. Mm-hmm. So if you're a non-reaction, and actually that's not quite the best description, but a non-reaction is the green area, the moderately reactive is the yellow area, and then highly reactive is the red area. So if you've got and they graph it according to how reactive you are. So it says here under your vegetable area that your lowest reaction that your blood gave was to spinach under vegetable, and then your highest reaction was to green pepper. So they list them in order of lowest to highest. And then once they start getting into the moderate, then the bar graph changes to yellow. And then, of course, the bar graph is red for the highly reactive. So it's a very easy read. And the ELISA test actually gave numbers, which turned out to be helpful to me. Actually, both of these would be very helpful because it tells you, even if your food is in the non-reactive area, you can see if it's close to being a moderate reactive food, or if it's way far away from moderately reactive and is a very low and causes a very low reaction in your body. Very, very helpful. Well, I think we're approaching our 30-minute time limit that we set for ourselves. Is there something that maybe I didn't ask you that you would like to share with everybody?
All your questions were right on the money. I guess I want to remind people that this is very eye-opening. It's an investment in yourself. We don't make any money, I don't, you don't, from suggesting people get a test. I would suggest people get the more elaborate test. It does cost a little bit more, but it does look into a lot of different things. For example, I learned that I was allergic to hemp, and while I wasn't eating hemp, I have a vest made out of hemp. And I was told I can wear it, but just not against my skin. And so there's little things like that that you may end up finding out you're allergic to or sensitive to. And by knowing it, you can just make slight little adaptations in your lifestyle and have a better life. So that's what I would recommend, is just get the more elaborate test. You can learn more about yourself and grow from that.
Thank you for mentioning that, because that's a very good point, and one thing I want to try to mention in every interview, every conversation, is that it matters what you put on your skin. And so one of our most favorite soaps that we've used is almost purely olive oil type of soap. And when my test came back and said I need to stay away from everything that's fermented, and olives are a naturally fermented type of food, and so are mushrooms, and I should stay away from them, what that told me, gave me the information to do, was to not bathe with that olive oil soap all the time. And so I switched. I actually read the ingredients on my soaps, on my shampoos, on my body lotions, on my toothpaste, and I discovered at one point that the bases that your supplements are packaged in could also work against you. For example, soy is a common type liquid to package a supplement in one of those gel caps. And it took me like 2 weeks of taking soy every day. Never thought to look in my supplement ingredients, and I was like, wow, my energy level is lower. I don't feel horrible, but why don't I feel great like I did? Mm-hmm. And that caused me to look around in my supplement ingredients and to go get a different, I forget what I was taking, vitamin E maybe, that was packed in soy, and so I had to go find a different vitamin E. Well, thank you very much for spending time with us and sharing your story and sharing your test. I think that's awesome. And I can't wait to promote this conversation so that people can listen to what you have to say and take that to heart and hopefully take action and improve their health with a food allergy, food sensitivity test.
Sounds great. Thank you for doing this. You're doing a great service to people. And Godspeed to all the listeners, and great health to you.
Awesome. We'll see everybody next time. Bye for now.
This conversation is brought to you by foodpowers.com. Thank you for listening.